We begin at the last section of Perek Zayin. It's on page 23. It's 9 lines from the bottom. Al tshuva shleima havazu. It is said that when the Tzemach Tzedek was a young child, about 4 or 5 years old, he was playing in the room Sinim Zayden, the Balatanya, and the Balatanya, Bishat, when he was davening, so he was a child, and the Zayden is putting on tefillin. The Tzemach Tzedek also, he made up his own toy tefillin. He took some potatoes, he shaped it in the shape of tefillin, and he put one on his hand, and he put one on his head, and he took some strips of some sort, and this is supposed to be the ritzuis. And while Tanya finished davening, he also took off his tefillin. And as he dragged it on the floor, they were not real tefillin, so from time to time, some of these fake ritzuis would get stuck on the table. It was the Tanya's table. So he's stuck in the middle of running. So he'd bend down, he would unravel it, then go on and play. This is something the Hasidim would notice many, many times. It happened that once that the Balatanya darshened a very particular mimer in Hasidus, a very difficult mimer. As Balatanya was darshening this mimer, the Hasidim requested that repeat that mimer. It was a very difficult mimer. He agreed to do it on a particular Tuesday, he said, after davening. But B'tanai said there should only be 3 minyanim yidden. Second time, 3 minyanim yidden. And there was a yid by the name of Rav Achusa Reb Yitzchak Isaac of Humil. That was his name. So he had to be one of the yidden who was among the 3 minyanim, was able to hear the chazorishir of that particular mamar. He wrote a sefer, by the way, called Chono Ariel, this Reb Yitzchak Isaac. So as the Rebbe started to repeat the mamar, now this was again the second time, it was a privilege to be able to hear it the second time, this Reb Yitzchak Isaac feels that epis Emes Kisselton by the fees dotten. And he realizes that the Tzemach Tzedek was 4 or 5 years old. He's again under the table. So the first impulse was, Mistami's playing with his tefillin got stuck again. His ritzuis there got stuck on the leg of the table, and he's busy unraveling it again. As if he's to give an amul. And just about as he was about to say something, because he needed deep concentration, this was again a repeat of the mimer, which is a very difficult mimer. And here he's being bothered, he says, by the young child that Tzemach Tzedek is playing under his feet. So what the heck, so before he was able to say anything, the Balatanya was toifis his machshovis. And he said to him, no, he's not playing. He wants to hear the mimer. He says, he's hearing, he's listening, and one day you'll understand that he knows the mimer. He was 4 or 5 years old. And here you have the chassidim who needed to have a repeat, needed to have a chazor on this particular shir. Lamaita was a Pelodi Gezach. This incident became very well known among the Hasidim. Many years passed. Balatanya was Nifter, so was the Malamukim, was the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Balatanya. Then ultimately became the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek became the Rebbe. The first Mamer Hasidus that the Tzemach Tzedek darshened, the Nekvon Rebbe, was this Mamer. They happened to be on the Mishnah, Soisha Devorim Oyla Moimed. That happened to be the basis of the mamer, and he darshened mamish. This was the mamer that he darshened. And when the Tzemach Tzedek was darshening this interesting thing, this Reb Yitzchak Isaac Taka was there. He was there, and he hears Taka the mamer. He hears, and he remembers that this is the mamer. He said that very difficult mamer that the Balatanya had repeated, and remembers that the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy. He was under the table, and the Gedengvi desired the Gezug. The Balatanya said, "One day you'll understand this Visna Zekenes Efeshtaitis." That, in fact, happened now, when, in fact, the first mamer that the Tzemach Tzedek darshened, he gave into that particular mamer of Chassidus. So while he was thinking this, the Tzemach Tzedek was toifes his machshuvas. And the Zuktem says, "Don't think of Ril Bavazne Pesachins. I want to show up some Pesachris Achochma." He said, "This is not my style." But Azovi desired Demos. He also remembered. He says, "Desired is that one day you will realize that I knew the mamer." He says, "So now," he said, "I mentioned this particular mamer." So we continue now, Rabbi Sai, with the Tanya, at the end of the Perek Zayin, so to speak. This is sorting the last leg of Perek Zayin. The Tanya basically developed the thought and told us that we know that there are the four klippos. We have the sholish klippos atmeyos, right? These are basically the sholish klippos atmeyos, which these make up the chius. This is the life force of all the dvarim asurim. The chius of dvarim asurim are from the sholish klippos atmeyos. And then we have the klippa revius, which is known as klippas noiga. Klippas noiga means it has some brightness in it as well. And that is the makeup of the Neshama HaBahamis, because every year has two Neshamas, as we mentioned, reviewing very quickly. We have the Nefesh Elokis, which is the Nefesh, which is the Chelik Elokim Imao, which is Kodesh Kodshim. And then he has the second Neshama. The year has the second Neshama, the Nefesh HaBahamis, the animal soul, but it's Klipas Noige. Lafuki Badi Umesoilom, their Nefesh, right, their Nefesh is from the Sholish Klippas HaTemeyos. But a Yid, his Nefesh is not from the Sholish Klippas HaTemeyos. Even his Nefesh HaBahamis is from Klipas Noige, which the Klipa Revius, which the Tanya says can go either way, which means that in spite of the fact he says the Klipa Snoig of this world, the Tanya said his Bemis is Ruboi Ra, if you remember he said, and it's Miutoi Toiv. But nevertheless, through our actions we have the Koyach to elevate it, and it would be in a Bechina that it becomes elevated Mamish to Kedusha. But Sada Shaini, depending how we use it, how we behave, we are able therefore to lower and to degrade it, also to become linked with the Sholish Klipa Satmeis. Now, the Tanya also told us that just as, in contrast to the Dvarim HaAsurim, things that are Osir, whether Midah De'Achila or actions that are Osir, forbidden relationships and so on and so forth, Diburim that are Osir, Machshuva Dibra Maise, that the Chiyus is from the Sholish Klippas HaTemeyos, things that are Mutter though, Dvarim HaMutarim, Kusher Essen, things that you're allowed to eat. Basically, the Koyach HaChiyus is from Klippas Noiga. Therefore, it depends whether we elevate it or degrade it, depends on how we eat. Remember, the Tanya told us that the big inyan about eating L'shem Shemayim, which B'derach Klal, we think of it only as being a mila, and to our Madregas Avada Halavai, we should be zoichet to that. But the Tanya tells us, when Ayid es Shloi L'shem Shemayim, then he degrades, then what is the Koyach HaChiyus in the Macholim HaMutarim become lowered to the Sholosh Klippos HaTemeyos. Because they are supposed to eat L'shem Shemayim. And as the Pasuk says, in fact, in Mishle, Kapitel Yitches, it says, L'tavo Yevakesh Nifrod. So the Sforam HaKdoshim say, matter of fact, Rashi's Meramis to that. Rashi says, what is the simon of a Yid? Whether he's close to the Rebbein Shalom or not. What's the simon? How can you tell? What are the telltale signs whether a Yid is close to Kodesh Baruch or not? Says the Pasuk, the Rashi Taiches, Letavo Yevakish, a person who seeks Taiva, Nifrod. That's a simon that is Nifrod from a Kodesh Baruch. This is the simon. This is a Yid Halt Nidishkeit. Take a look and see if he pursues Taiva. What is his focus in life? Letavo Yevakish, a person who seeks and pursues Taiva, is Nifrod. And, as a matter of fact, as the Beis Yisroel Tamul Gezukst, he said, in the name of the Rishoner, he says that sometimes we fool ourselves. After all, we're eating macholim ksherim with the best hechshim, hadim and amahadris. And we eat bosa betachlis akashris, the best nishens nishoichit, right? And everything is kedasa v'kedin on the highest level, right? And yet, we see what the Tanya says, but when he eats that food, that kosher food, l'mahadim and amahadris, but if he eats a shlel l'shem shemayim, then what he does is he is lowering the chiyus, he is lowering the madrega. The Koyach HaChiyus, which is in that food, he is lowering it and connecting it to the Sholish Klippos HaTemeyos. He has degraded it. He caused a tremendous Yerida. However, a person has realized it. Chagokotim best mehechsher. I'm eating the best, the most kosher food. So he thinks that everything is fine. After all, he shops in the best places, the most kosher place. He pays the highest price to get the best kosher meat, right? The highest level of kosher meat. But Lamaise is fooling himself. Because B'shas, when he's eating it, when he's putting it into his mouth, he's not eating L'shem Shemayim, according to Tanya. He had caught the Yerida and in the field in the Koyach HaChiyus of this food, that now becomes connected to the Sholish Klippos HaTemeyos. So the Beis Yisroel B'shem, the Rishoner, that sometimes if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to be Mat Chayid, wants to push away a Yid, so the Pasuk says that we say in the davening, the Shabbos, the davening in the morning, we say, Pnei Hashem B'yoyse Ra. What does it mean, Pnei Hashem B'yoyse Ra? There are people who are oisera, but Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want to give them the opportunity to do tshuva so quickly. Because that itself is part of their oinish. What does Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He fools them. How does he fool them? Pnei Hashem, he gives them a godly face. Emaita zanelachayit. I get them a getlich punim. Pnei Hashem beyoisei ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes in those are oisei ra, he gives them a pnei Hashem. Zalepta natuus, he lives in a fantasy world. There, but a fine yid, he says, who can compare to me? He says, I'm such a mendagdi b'mitzvah, he thinks and he believes it. Lamaisa, he's really an oisei ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being matche this yid midechi al dechi. One of the ways he does this is, he says, pnei Hashem. Azuk derisioner. Pnei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a pnei Hashem. Yeah, it gives him a tzura that appears to be a kodesh kodshim degeid, and this is b'yoisei ra. This is the nekuda. The idea is again, this is what it means. Letava yevakish nifrod. He doesn't realize that he's nifrod from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's eating the most kosher food possible, but letava yevakish. But he's a person who pursues pleasures. He's a person who pursues taiva. So b'emes he's nifrod. He doesn't realize he's a nifrod. I can be a nifrod, he says. I'm paying the highest price, he says. I'm looking for the best things. I'm not compromising on kashrus in any area of my life. But if you're a person who's letava yevakish, you're really a nifrod. He doesn't realize it. He thinks he's the highest level of an oved Hashem. But lamaisa, the pasuk tells us he's a nifrod. He's nifrod. He is separated from a kodesh baruch hu. Yishulchan ha-toyer from Shem Raminim brings the Shem Nistretin Rebbe. That Rebbe Damul Gizukti says it's an interesting thing. He says davening. As davening is important as tefillah is, we know that there's a machlokes whether tefillah is a deraisa or it's a drabonon. Not such a simple thing. Rambam Shittis is a deraisa. The Ramban says it's a drabonon. Benching l'chol adeis is a deraisa. V'chalto v'savoto v'erachto. So he wants to explain, he says, how do we understand the phenomenon, he says. Tefillah, maybe it's a deraisa, maybe not. Benching, for sure, is a deraisa. And yet it appears, he says, that people have a little bit more kavona when it comes to tefillah than benching. For some are benching, people run through benching. Although by our tefillah should be a little better too. But he says that it appears that by tefillah people are a little more machaven. Seems there's more kavona by tefillah than it is by benching. Benching seems to be lagging behind in the area of kavona and importance in the eyes of people. But what happens is benching is episodes of bilik. Chaptub is benching. People even say it that way. Chaptub is benching. And by tefillah, chaptub is davenoch. He says, why does there seem to be more kavon? He says, by tefillah. He says, which is possibly only a drabonon. He says, yet benching is definitely a deraisa. And he said, the chilik is in one thing. Daven and davenman, he says, before you eat, and benching, you're benching after you eat. He says, that's the difference. Because this could be explained, biur hadover, according to the way we just learned in the Tanya. Because when a person eats, even when he's eating, right, dvorim hamutorim, but when he eats shleilishem shemaim, he becomes connected to the sholish klippas hatmeyas. Now you can imagine if a person who is achila dragged them down into the sholish klippas hatmeyas, you can understand this benching gai chenishim kavona. It doesn't go. The gai chenishim again. It doesn't go so smoothly anymore. His mind is not capable of focusing on yonim shob kedusha, because the eating itself was a yurida for him. Right? Where in fact this was an opportunity where a person can be a great oved Hashem through achila. But the way, the very fact that he eats, that's just the opposite. When you eat Shleil Hashem Shemayim, now becomes connected to the Sholish Klippas HaTameyos, and the male, so the Kavanah is not the way it's supposed to be. The Tanya says it becomes a Markova to the Gimel Klippas, becomes a Markova, becomes connected to that. It is said about the father of the Rishoner. The father of the Rishoner was the Psholm Shachne. Psholm Shachne, say, given a Klein Yingle, was a small boy, so he had a bagel in his hand. And he was crying. So they came up to him and they asked him, he says, why are you crying? So he said, I'm crying, he says, because I'm hungry. He says, well, why are you hungry? He says, why are you crying? You have a bagel in your hand. Because the Tatat Gizukt, as my father said, the Mevil Shtark Essen Turmenicht. My father said, when you have great desire to eat, then you can't eat. You don't fill yourself with tithe. No, again, Ayikul. This is what father said. And Hibadavke was very hungry. Tatat Gizuk Turmanish. Tavo Yevakesh Nifrod. What the Posik says, in fact, the Posik says in Mishle. Tatat Gizuk, the more desire you have, so Adrabe, so Estimatakenish. So the interesting thing is, it said about the Saba Kedish, it says about Reberl Meradishitz. The last few years have been very popular. It's been accepted that many, many people go to the Kaver. Rabbi Socha Ben Meradishitz was a great, great Balmoifis before he was in Zgala, before he was known as a as a poil Yeshuas, who is extremely, extremely, extremely poor. Mamish. Nothing. Pasba Melech would be a luxury in his case. He didn't have that either. Mamish didn't have anything. And as the story goes, even Yontif approached once and there was nothing to eat. So he figured he's going to stay in the Beis Medrash. He'll go early and he'll come home late. There's nothing to come home to because there's nothing to eat anyway. It was the first day of Sukkot, first night of Sukkot. Turns out Al-Pinesh that someone shows out of nowhere. He needs a place to stay. He's going to eat Agri Soisher. He goes over to the Rebbe and says, maybe I can stay. You can stay, but we have nothing to eat. He said, no, that's no problem. He takes out a bag of money. And he says, here. He says, bye. He says, Mamish. Yad HaMelech. Kisuda Shloima Bishatai. Prepare the most beautiful suda possible in Kachave. Quickly she was prepared and so on and so forth. He had no havim about this whole thing. He never knew about it. He comes home late and he comes home and he sees Epis and he smells food. Something that Epis, he couldn't believe it. And he sees the Satitzah. So he goes into the Sukkah, Vadavad and Machkiddish, as he's Davtzazam. And he washes to the suda. Simchi Gedoyle. There's a suda. There's something to eat. And right in the middle of the suda, he stops. He stops. And he says, Berl, Berl, his name was Berl, Psocha Berl. He says, Berl, Berl, he says, the zitzten top nicht in the sukkah. You're sitting in the pot, you're not sitting in the sukkah. The koplik ten top, he says. Are you supposed to sit in the sukkah? You're not sitting in the sukkah, you're sitting in the pot. He's been starved for so many weeks, months maybe. So all of a sudden, it was something to eat. So, but he stopped. He said, this is not considered to be sitting in the sukkah. So he stopped back. The Reb Sholem used to say many times, Reb Sholem Shadon used to say about the famous chosid who came to Reb Aaron Karlina. He says, and he happened to come just bishas, he says, when the Rebbe was eating. That's the whole idea, by the way, of going to a Rebbe's tish. The idea is because achila is an avoidev. But we're learning now from the Tanya, you can see what avoidev is achila. To be eating l'shem shemayim. The limud that a person's supposed to see, the way tzaddikim eat. That's the whole inyan of going to Rebbe Shetish is not some sitting at a table. It's supposed to be a limud in Avodas Hashem to see what it means, Achila Kedoshe. As you can remember, the Satmaru, the Chorin of Ruchas, was sitting at the table. I mean, you can imagine, he was sitting quite distant, quite away from the table. He would never bend to the food. Never bend to the food. The food would be at distance, the food would go straight to him like this. You don't bend to the food. The food comes to you. You're not bending to the food. So Mela, you say, when it was solid, Mela. But he did that by the soup also. So that was the way he seemed to perfect that skill. Not without spilling anything, but to be able to take the food. But he would not bend. Food's supposed to come to you. A person doesn't bend to the food. It's a koifif. You bend over for the food. You mavatel the food to yourself. So it's chosid. He sees the Rebbe eats. Right? Sees the Rebbe eats. And he sees the Rebbe eats. Seems to be doing just the same that he's doing. His name was Rabbi Yankel. Rabbi Yankel is thinking to himself, and he says, well, I eat, the Rebbe eats, I make a bracha, the Rebbe makes a bracha. It's one and the same. And the Rebbe was taifis as machshavas, and Rabban Kalinas, he says to him, he says, listen, Yankel, he says, let me tell you the difference between me and you, he says. He says, I get up in the morning, he says, and I look out through the window, and I see this beautiful world that the Rebbe Shalom created. And I see a beautiful tree, tremendous, tremendous, this koich of creation. And I see the Gevaldige Peiris. And I want to make a bracha on the beauty of creation. But you can't make a bracha levatola. So he says, so behechrach, I have to eat, right? In order to be able to make a brocha. So what do? I make a brocha and I eat a fruit. He says, you, Yankel, you also start out the same way. You get up in the morning, you also see a beautiful tree with pears. You want to eat. But you know you're from Yid, you can't eat without a brocha. So behechrach, you have to make a brocha in order to eat. The difference between me and you, he says, is I eat in order to make a brocha, you make a brocha in order to eat. This is the chilik. Is the chilek where achila becomes an avodas Hashem, or just becomes something that you do? Interesting thing, and you may have heard it a long time, which basically what Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, this is known in the Velt as the Tainus Arivit. This is brought down by Rabbeinu Yonah himself. Rabbeinu Yonah says in the Yesod HaTshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah quotes and says the Lashon like this, it's called Tainus Arivit. It's not called fasting, you're eating, but it's called a Tainus. Why? The Chayin Omar, Harav Rabbi Avrum Bar Dovid, that's the Ravid. Show you Echod Machaside Yoilam. This is where Rabbeinu Yonah writes. Rabbeinu Yonah was known as the Chosid Shebechasidim. Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the Ravid. He says, Show you Echod Machaside Yoilam. Hageder Hagodl Hamufle. Menias Hamacholis. He says, the Geder Hagodl is Menias Hamacholis. What does it mean? Not to eat? So he says like this. Zekach Pirish Devorov. Al Yaniach Ligamre Shlo Yoichal Boser Lishtayayin. A person should not. should not totally disavow himself or completely separate himself not to eat basar nor drink wine. It's enough of the Torah asert. You're allowed to eat what the Torah was matir. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, b'shem arayvet, ach be'es macholoi lefonov, be'bishat when the food is in front of him, v'oidenu to'ev le'echol memen, and he still has taivet to eat. Yaniach l'chvoid ha'boirim mitavosoi, v'al yoichal k'dei tavosoi. Tainus arayvet is, in best and essence, you know, just when you're enjoying it the most, to be able to stop. He says, nothing to starve yourself. Just say, we're saying starve your tithe. That's what he's asking you. Just to say, Mami, she said, when you still have toiv lechol, so you stop. Why are you stopping? Shem Shemai. You're stopping the Chloe, the Haboy, his Baruch, and said, the Dover Zeyim, the Enu Machatoi. A personal practice is this Bechlau. This is an exercise in Hanhog in general. Vayazkirenu Ahavis Haboy, Yosem Mitanis Echol Bechol Shavua. He says, this is more effective than actually fasting every week. If you decide that you're going to fast a full day every week, right? You'll think it's a Moedi Gezach. Tremendous thing. More than that, more than taking upon yourself a complete tainus every week, don't take a tainus. But in best and essence, you know, try to stop just when you have the peak of your taiva. Start to stop and withhold. But that's more than that, he says. That's the call that's known as the tainus arrivals. Alexander Rebbe Zichron Levoch used to say, we just sniffed it now, he used to say, everybody knows, the main kemach in Taira, he says, Imein kemach, am est nishazoy medarf is in Torah, is not Torah either. That's a new type of main kemach in Torah. So look at your kemach, see how your food looks like, he says. Imein kemach, not if you're mahot nishkan kemach, you know, imein kemach in Torah. Imein kemach, he says, if the kemach is nishinodanu, if your food is not as supposed to be, then it ain't Torah. Then there's something lacking also in your Torah. The chason in your Torah and your avodas Hashem. It said that one of the Alta Chasidim, he says, of the Balatanya was hid by the name of Reb Shmuel Munkis. Reb Shmuel Munkis, we once mentioned him. He was a bechin of a hatz nalechiz geid. Because Lamarasai, you know, he was sort of like a batchin. He'd make people happy and so on and so forth. If you didn't know who he was, you'd think that he was a joker. But Lamaita bepnimius, he was a chosid godel, and he was considered to be, by the Balatanya, considered to be choshev moid. Shmuel Munkis was very choshev by the Balatanya. So it happens that by one of the fabrengens of the Anash, you know, from the Chasidim, so Shmuel Munkis was also there, and they sat there talking in Chasidus. And the shaykhid of the town was there, and he brought in some meat, which is something unusual, rarity, to be able to say, if I'm bringing, to bring in some meat, and everybody was just ready to... But Shmuel Munkis goes, and he takes away the whole peckle, and doesn't allow anybody to take it. Everybody said, hey, listen, this was given for us. We have no right to take it. And he doesn't give it to anybody. He just holds on to it. So finally, one of the Hasidim got very upset, and they're ready just to pull the bag of meat out of his hand. He sees what they were doing, so he goes, there was a garbage over there, and he throws it into the garbage. Now they're extremely upset. Turns out that a message comes right away, comes from the sheikh, it comes a message. He said, listen, this particular bag, I hope nobody ate from it. A shayla rose back in the butcher shop, and it turns out there'd be a big chashash of treifa. Meister turns out that he saved the oilam. They came, they asked him, Shmuel Munkis, and they said to him, well, how did you know that? He said, how did you know this? The Shmuel Munkis says, listen, he says, one of the things that I learned, he says, from the first moment, he says, is that when I have tremendous desire to eat, I don't. If somehow when this peckle of meat was brought in, I had a tremendous desire to eat it. So I said to myself, something is wrong and you can't eat it, he says. And I insisted on that. No, Harai, it turned out to be that way. Never saw Taka, he threw it away. So this Al-Kaponim is what the Tanya is teaching us about the Yechila L'Shem Shemayim, because then the Klipas Noige becomes elevated, he says, to Kedusha. Otherwise, says the Tanya, then it becomes dragged down into the Sholosh Klipas HaTmeis. Interesting thing is, you know, there's a sefer called the Yagid Moshe. He was a brother-in-law, was an Odom Godel Meir, he's a brother-in-law of the Somba Tel Aruf, you know, who lived in Williamsburg for many, many years. And he was a tremendous, tremendous Baal Mechadish, who had a lot of Sfarim, even though he was Nifter very, very young. He was the son-in-law of the Friedige Pupruf, the Yagid Yankis. But he was Nifter in the war. He was an extremely talented person. Had he lived on, it would have been a lot of more and more Kizikredish Chedusha Torah, because he had tremendous Kach HaChidish. So he once said, we say in the davening, in Hoidu, those who say it then, Erev Shabbos, in the capital Kiv Zayin, he says, Avili Mederech Pishon, Umavoy Noseyem Yisanu, says the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Avili Mederech Pishon. It says, Avili means fools. Miderach Pishon, because of their sinful path, Mavoinoseyem Yisanu. Yisanu means pain, Loshin Inui. And because of their Averis, Yisanu, they suffer pain. Foolish people, because of their Averis, suffer pain. Evilim, Evil. Evilim, with the Aleph, right? Evilim Miderach Pishon. Mavoinoseyem, because of their Averis, Yisanu. They suffer Inui, they become afflicted. Listen, he says. You have a Yid. Takes upon himself, he says, a mission of tshuva. No, he's ready to do tshuva, fine, so goes through the process. Vusteta, he davens against tzedukah. Tetan, he fasts. And at the end of his tshuva process, he feels very accomplished. He feels so accomplished to the point that he thinks to himself, no, he says that 2-3 weeks, successful weeks, with tanaisim, with tfila, with tzedukah, mi yidmeli, mi yishveli, he says, Miyarachli, he says, the Alazachin says. So of course, this machshove, at the end of the tshuva process, is just the hepach of tshuva. Because the essence of tshuva is Lev Nishbar, Venitke, Shviris Alev, Itachnoa, the Alazachin. But if his Seder of tshuva did not bring him to Achnoa, but Faket, it brings machshove of Geus and Yeshus, he says, then you know what? Then the fasting itself is an Avera. Because the fasting brought him to Gaiva. So he said like this. Avilim, they are foolish people. Miderach Pishom, when they're trying to go away from their Averis, Ume'avoinoiseyem, a chelik of their Averis is Yisanu, as a fasten. He said, Yisanu is from Loshen Tainis, not Inui. Affliction. He said, the fasting also becomes a chelik of his Averis. Instead of bringing him to Achnoa, instead of bringing him to Alev Nishbor, Benagraldige Ishashulim, Benashtaim is a gemen, she says. He said, Ume'avoinoiseyem, a chelik of his Averis is Yisanu. The fact that the best thing about Gevenius, it would have been much better had he not fasted. So Rabbi Sai, so we're gonna go now further here. We're gonna go here talking out on the Tanya. Just to mention to you, Kiduah, which is what the Sfor Magdosh mentioned, about Movino when he comes back from the Malchoma. Do you remember when he comes back from the Malchoma? In Parshas Lech Lecho it says Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem, right? Hoyt Lechem Vayayin, Hukoyin. Lekel Elyoin. Kidu this for Magdoshim, it said over for many, many different Tamida Bashem. So he said, Malkit Tzedek was Shem. Shem was a tzaddik, tremendous tzaddik. Shem Be'ever, Rosh Hashiva. Shem. Malkit Tzedek. He was a Melech Sholem. Melech Sholem means that he had a Shlemus. Shlemus means he was an Oved Hashem in every area. To be an Oved Hashem, he says, only in Ruchnius. That everybody could do. If he wants to. He says, the Chochm is to be an Oved Hashem Gashem is. So Hoitzi, he was Mamtzi, he invented that Lechem B'Yoyin, that even through your Achila Vishtia, right, you can also be an Oved Hashem, the Hukoyein Lekel Elyoin, in Lechem B'Yoyin. The Lechem B'Yoyin should be a Bechin of Karbonis. That's what we showed in the Tanya, we saw last week, what the Tanya says. If a person eats Lechem Shemayim, then he elevates the Gashem, he says, Ke'oilu Ke'karbon. And we pointed out on the Baal Shem Tov, it's even higher than Oilech HaKarban. Why? Because the Karban is a Dovah Shebikdusha Mamish. But here a person takes a Dovah Gashmi, it's Mimerchok Tovi Lachmo. The Cheshivas is if it comes Mimerchok. You take something which is far away from Kedusha, and you bring it back to Kedusha. That is the High Madrega. That is the real Cheshivas. So Makisedek Melech Sholem, the Shleimus was that Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin, V'Hukoyin L'Kelelion, that becomes like a Bechina, in the Bechina of Karbonis. So we go now to the Tanya. The Tanya, let's remember over here, the Tanya told us that regarding Dvarim Asurim, if somebody was Nichshol in Dvarim Asurim, this applies whether it is Dvarim Asurim in Midah D'Achila, whether the Tanya says whether it was forbidden relationships. The Tanya says there are two ways how to extract it, to elevate it out of the Sholdish Klippas Atmeyas. To be able to be Mala the Chiyus. One way, said the Tanya, which means when Mashiach will come. Because only when Mashiach will come. Because Dvarim Asurim, the Koyach HaChiyus in Dvarim Asurim, if you became Nichshol in Dvarim Asurim, the Koyach HaChiyus will only be elevated when Mashiach comes. Because then it says, Va'avir Ruach Tumah Min Oretz. So then all Ruach Tumah will be removed. Or, says the Tanya, and then he said number two, Extreme Tshuva. Extreme Tshuva says, Tshuva Ma'ahava Rabba. Which we went through already, we're not going to go over this again. But the Tanya said the level of tshuva mahavaravazug the Tanya, where a person has a tremendous tshuka, He has a tzemoyin Lashem. That's where the Tanya expresses it. He has a tzemoyin Lashem, like a person's beretz ayef of a tzio. Can imagine a person who's chalishing for some water because he's in a desert. Right? You can imagine the tzemoyin, the thirst that he has. If a person has this type of a tzemoyin to be a dobuk b'Hashem, that's called tshuva mahava rabba, the Tanya uses the Lashem. The mail in such a case, this doinus nasa kizochias, it overturns completely everything, and then he's able to elevate the chius in the dvar masurim that he ate. Even though he ate dvar masurim, he's able to elevate that, right? Elevate that to kedusha. However, a regular tshuva, now he comes, says the Tanya further, let's go further now. Says the Tanya, however, in a regular tshuva, aval tshuva shloima havazu, says the Tanya. However, a tshuva, which is not mahavazu, means if it's not on the level of tshuva mahava, af shehi tshuva nechayna, even though it is a good tshuva. Good tshuva means he has charota and kabbalah alaosid, all the normal conditions of tshuva, right? Vashem yistach loy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive him for the avera. Mekol mekol lenasa loy kizochias, but of course it will not turn into, right, will not turn into zochias, will not turn to mitzvahs. The avera will not turn to mitzvahs, he says. Ve'ein oylem haklipa legamre, and therefore he says, they will not be released from the klipos. They will not be released from the klipos. He says, ad eis kates, until, he says, the end of time, shivula hamoves lenetzach, right? When death will be swallowed up forever. So the Tanya tells us, so either it's tshuva mehava, then you can be able to release, right, from the klipos. The chiyus from the klipos, you're able to release it and to elevate it to kedusha. Or he says, it won't happen until Mashiach comes. Now comes the Tanya and says something very, very sensitive, Rabbi Yisrael. Very sensitive, but it's a tremendous amor de gechidish. The Tanya talks about, and this is a few lines, but we have it in the Tanya, talks about Zer Levatola. Metzad Echad, I just want to make a shikar dom here. Metzad Echad, as the Tanya will tell us, this is based upon the Zohar, based upon the Ari, that Zer Levatola is considered to be more chomor than even Bias Asuris Mamish. It's more chomor. Yet, interesting thing, the Tanya tells us, the Eitzah for Tshuva will be easier. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, but the Tanya is telling us here. Mitzad Echad Mitzad Choymer Ho'ovoin, Zer Levatola is worse, is more Chomer than Bias Asurois. And yet, regarding when a Yid wants to do Tshuva and to be able to elevate the Gimel Klippas Atmeyas, the Chiyus that are in the Gimel Klippas Atmeyas of this Aveira, he's able to release it with a lesser of a level of tshuva than needed for other areas. And as the Tanya points out and gives us the reason, and we'll explain it as we go along. The Tanya Zoy. Ach, ha-chiyus she-betipa zera she-yotza me-le-batola. The chiyus, he says, that are in the tipoy zera, af she-yordo ve-nichlolo b'sholish klipas atmeyos, even though they have been degraded by doing by virtue of the nisr. Because the Tanya already told us, dvorim asurim, whether they are midah de'achila, whether they're things forbidden foods, whether they are bios asurois, right, forbidden relationships. Similarly, zer levatola, even though he's only involved with himself, he's not involved with any partner, because zer levatola is talking about what person does the avera himself. Says the Tanya, but of course this avera, it's yordo venichlo, it has been degraded, has become incorporated in the sholish klipas atmeis. Harezu, the good news is, harezu oyle mishom. Nevertheless, they are able to ascend from the klipos. He's able to bring it out of the klipos, he says. The tshuva nechayna. He says with an appropriate tshuva. You notice, not tshuva mehava. Before the Tanya said, regarding dvorim asurim, if a person ate or did, the only way to be able to release it and to elevate it from the sholish klipos atmeis, he says, either says Mashiach has to come first, or tshuva mehava rabba. Here the Tanya says, regarding this particular chet, this particular chet, which is called the chet hayidua, this particular chet, says the Tanya, when it's able to release it from the klipoy, says the Tanya, b'tshuva nechayna b'kavona atzuma b'krishma shalamita kenoidim arizal. Here it is. Now you have a new purpose of saying krishma shalamita b'kavona. We always look at krishma shalamita, this is like a sort of like an afterthought. You're going to sleep anyway, so you take out the little thing there, right? And half asleep, or you fall asleep in the middle, and you get to psaz hazugub. You see, even the Tanya here, b'shem de arizal, the koyach of krishma shalamita b'kavona, and we'll expand upon this a little bit. Talk about it a little bit. But I want to move on ahead, because we have to move ahead also. So the Tanya tells us a tremendous thing about krishma shalamita. This, he says, with a tshuva nechayna, b'kavona atzuma, but saying not stam saying Krishna Mishalami, the Kavona Atzuma, using a Kavona Atzuma with intense, right, saying it with intense devotion and concentration, Krishna Mishalamito, he says, a person, Kenoidim Arizal, brings down clearly from the Arizal, a person can be Zoiche. To elevate, he says, the Koich Achius, to take it out, to release it from the Sholish Klippis Atmeyos, and to elevate it to Kedusha. Well, Merum is the Gemara, and the Tanya says there's some Merum in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol HaKoyre Krishma Al Mitosoi, again talking about Krishma Shalamita. The Gemara says, in Brochis Dafei, that if someone was Koyre Krishma Al Mitosoi, right? Ki'ilu Oiches Cherev Shoshtei Piyos. The Koyche of Krishma Shalamita, as if you have a double-edged sword. As if you have two blades. What do you need two blades for? What's two blades for? So the Tanya explains the idea of the Shtei Piyos, says the Tanya. He says the purpose is, he says, Kedei, number one, Laharoi Gufis HaChitzoinim. Because you want to, first of all, kill the Gufis, the Chitzoinim, the evil forces. You want to first slay, you want to kill the bodies of the Chitzoinim. Because look what happened. What happened was that when a person did this Aveira, when he did the Aveira of the Chet HaYadua, what happens is now it has become degraded and has been absorbed. It has been caught up, trapped in the clutches of the Chitzoinim, of the evil forces. You have to do two things. First, he says, you have to kill the bodies of the forces, and then you have to be able to bring it out. You have to go in to be matzalit. So when you kill the bodies is one thing of the Chitzoinim, so they're not going to block you. Once you got rid of them, they're not going to block you. But now you have to go and retrieve. Now you have to retrieve that which has been degraded, retrieve it and elevate it. That's the second blade. The first blade is to kill the gufais of the Chitzoinim, says the Tanya, Shenasu levush l'chiyos shebetipois, because the Chitzoinim have become garments. In other words, they are surrounding that tipa that has gone levatola. That tipa that's gone levatola has been, right, has been clothed, has been surrounded by the Chitzoinim, right? And v'oila hachiyos mehem. And also, the other blade, means the other edge of the sword, is in order to bring out the koyach achius from the klippas. He says, "Va'oil achius mem ki yedua liyoydechein." Anybody know what liyoydechein is? Why? What does ches nun mean? Chochmas anister, right? Chochmas anister. Now, says the Tanya lefizeh. He says, "Va'lochein," and therefore, loyhusker ova in zerla v'tola b'toyre b'chlal bias asura. The Tanya says that will explain to you, because many, many people think erroneously, if Zeru Levatola is such a serious Aveira, how come it's not mentioned Torah together with all the Biyos Asuras? Why is it not mentioned Sazam? Chazal learned it out from various drushes and so on and so forth, and certainly Alpi Kabbalah, and certainly Alpi Zoyar, and certainly Alpi Arizal. We know what it means. But why is it not mentioned the Torah between the Biyos Asuras? Why is it not mentioned? So the Tanya says, I'll tell you why. The reason V'lechenu Husker Ova in Zeru Levatola. He says, "B'toyre bechlal biyos asuros, af shechomer mehen." Even though, in one respect, this avera is worse than biyos asuros. Even though, in one respect, he says, "V'godla avoynoi bebchinis hagadlus." He says, regards, he says, to the size of the avera. If you're talking about size, I'm not talking about quality. What's the same? We're talking about the size, the enormity of the avera, and the ribui hatume, right? He says, and the ribui, he says, the amount of tumah that is caused by klipa shemoylit. No other avera, he says, any bss iser will create so many klipas tameyas as he says azer levatola. Umar be b'moyd b'moyd b'tzor azer levatola yoyseh mebias asuris. So when you measure, he says, in quantity of the klipa that the avera creates, he says, it is greater than any forbidden bias iser. We're talking about the quantity of klipas that the avera creates. This avera creates much more quantity. However, Rak, but the difference is when you measure in quality. He says, Rak, Shebebiyos Asuras, he says, when you measure the quality of the Avera, it's different. Why is it different? Shebebiyos Asuras, Moisif Koyach, Vechius Beklipa Temei Beyosif. But in the case of Bias Asuras, it adds more strength, he says, in Chius, to the most Tumadig Klipois, he says, Stam tshuva will not do it. The Tanya says as follows, and just explain to you, and then later on I'll show you where the Tanya actually says it, because there's a Hagor coming up there. The Hagor needs a beer also, which is mentioned in the Tanya, a few lines of Hagor there. The thing is like this. He says, you think about when something is trapped by klipos. When something is trapped by klipos, there's two ways it could be trapped. The worst way that it's trapped is when it's being mamish absorbed. When the klipa mamish absorbs it. So if the klipa mamish absorbs something, it's very difficult to extract it, to get it out. There's another way that something can be trapped. Not absorbed, surrounded by. So for example, you think of a person, let's say, who's in a cage. He's not absorbed by anything, he's just surrounded by a fence. About it, he's still trapped. But all you have to do basically is break the fence and you can get him out. But when something is absorbed within something, it's absorbed, it's much more difficult to get out. The Tanya says, regarding Bias Asuras, he says, it becomes absorbed, he says, in the Klipos HaTameis. The Chiyus, the Koyach HaChiyus, the Koyach HaChiyus of that Aveira becomes absorbed. Being it becomes absorbed in the Klipos, it's very difficult to get out. Therefore, it only gets out, as we said, one of two ways. Either Mashiach has to come first, or the Tshuva Mahava Rabba. But he said, by this Aveira, the Chet HaYadua, he says, right, in spite of the fact that you have so many Klipos were created, so many Koyachs of Tumah were created, but they're not being absorbed. They are just surrounded by klipos, he says. They are surrounded. The koich achius of the Aveira is surrounded, not absorbed, as we'll soon see. So therefore, regarding Bias Asuras that becomes absorbed in the klipos, he says, a tshuva will not remove it. Elim ken yasi tshuva mahava rabo. Kol kach, right to the extent, that achis adoinis nasa lo kizochis, because that's the koich of tshuva mahava where the maze turns into a mitzvah, right? However, he says, when it comes to this area of, right, when it comes to the area of the Chet HaYadua, in such a situation it is different. So in other words, all that's necessary to elevate, right, the degraded Chiyus to Kedusha, is a true tshuva, but you don't need tshuva mahava. A tshuva nechayna. Avad, you have to have an erus to tshuva, a serious tshuva, ishtarke tshuva, but you don't need your tshuva mehava. The svara, what we just explained, how this works, why with Bias Asuras, right, we said, Bias Asuras needs tshuva mehava or Mashiach, one of the two, he says. Because why? Because we said because it becomes absorbed in the klipos. Whereas the Chet HaYadua does not become absorbed, it's surrounded by the klipos. Where does he say that? Where does he say that? Look at the Hagoah. Look at the Hagoah, and we'll explain the Chmein just, of course, on a superficial level, but we'll see what he's saying. So he says now in the Hagoah. So the Chilik is, Mipnei, so the reason is, Sheniklato. In other words, in the case of the Bias Iser, he says, the Bias Iser, Sheniklato, it becomes absorbed, B'yisoid denukva deklipa. What does he mean? It means as follows. A Bias Iser, you have the physical act. The physical act is between two people. So you have the male and the female. Now, in the same way that in the physical act you have the male and the female, so you have the Zohar and you have the Nekeva, in the Ruchnius, in the Klipa, in the spiritual element, right, there's also the female element of the klipa. The klipa also has a female element. Being that the klipa also has a female element, so just like in the gashmis act, right? So it was involved. The nekeva was the makabel. In the olam haklipa, in the spiritual realm, the klipa nekeva is makabel. Makabel means it receives, it absorbs. So in the case of Bias Iser, we have the role of the nekeva, the klipa. Nekev, the klipa means it's mekabel. Nekev is a mekabel. Duchra is mashpia. Nukva is mekabel. So it's a mekabel, it absorbs. So it absorbs the chius, the koyach achius. And now that it's absorbed into the klipos, to remove it, you have to have either, as you said, Mashiach has to come, or you have to do tshuva mahava rabba, as he points out. Vahamakabel is because you have nukva, the klipa. You have the female element of the klipa. Female means mekabel. So it's a mekabel. It's a mekabel, all of that chius of the Avera. Hamakabeles, the koiletes, hachius mahakdusha. What it does is it's absorbed within, right? It's absorbed. The vitality is absorbed within that klipa. Mashainken, he says, in the case of Zelavatola, she ain't shom bechinis nukve the klipa. There you don't have no female element because Zelavatola, you only have the Zohar's involved with himself. He's not involved with someone else. That's a Bias Iser. We're not talking about a Bias Iser. So in the case of Zelavatola, so all you have is the forces of the klipa surrounding. Right? The chayolos means the army of the klipa, the forces of the klipa. Malbishim lechius shibetipois. It encompasses, it surrounds. He says, "Kiyidu eliyoy dechein." Again, this is deep stuff. So Kaporim, just again, the sabra says, and a little bit to understand. So there's a different ultimate ratio of how far the koich achius, which lies in the aver, becomes trapped. In Bias Asuras, it becomes absorbed, Therefore, you have to have a higher level of tshuva to remove it, to release it. That's what he says, tshuva bahava rabo. You have to have tshuva mahava. As opposed, in the case of the chet hayidua, you have no nuk for the klipa, you have no nukay for the klipa. So therefore, merely it is surrounded. The klipa is malabish. The klipa b'koycha yisrael is malbishim, surrounds it. And melo, therefore, it's able to be released, he says, with a tshuva nachoina. Very quickly, let's just finish up so we can finish this also, and then we'll explain a little bit some liquidity here. But there Yuvan Mamar Rabbi Sein Wazal, he says, therefore we can understand, he says, the Mamar Chazal, everybody must have heard this Gemara. The Gemara says, Ezehu Me'uvish La'yuchel Liskoin. What is considered to be an Aveira that you can't correct? L'chayre, which Aveira is it that you can't correct? The Chazal says, Zeshebo Aho Erva V'hoilid Mamzer. It's one thing that you have it be a sister, a forbidden relationship, but if it produces a Mamzer, so it means you have the Kiyum of the Aveira, right, is there. So even beyond the act, you have created something. That's called a Me'uvish La'yuchel Liskoin. The Chazal say, and the reason is, because she'oz gamim yase tshuva gedoyle kol kach, because in such a case, even if he does tshuva mahava, it won't help. He epshelol ahalos achiyus lekedusha. He's not going to be able to release and to elevate the chiyus to kedusha. Ma'achash kvar yodol anamazet, because this chiyus already has been reincarnated into a vlad, which is a mamzer. It has been reincarnated. It has been descended into a world v'nislap shebeguf bosav adam. Has been clothed now in the body of flesh and blood, namely the Mamzer, so the Aveira is Chai V'Kayim, in the life form of the Mamzer. So therefore, says the Tanya, if you do Tshuva Mahava, but the Mamzer leif tach noch, etach du. So he says, therefore, Mamela V'Tishelfen, you won't have the Tshuva Mahava. So the Rebbe Ayatz, by the way, in the Hagdomah to Sefer Pekei Chivrim, Yosef Yitzchok, he brings there, and he says, that it's known, he says, the Maisa, he says, Vagoyin Achosir, he says, Rebbe Yosef, B'yesh konventusher, he says. He says, Yubiyosha, B'yesh konventusher, he says, who he said that the Balatanya of the Gehaisen should become a Balagula. He said, Yidagoysachusit, and the Balatanya said that he should become a Balagula. Balagula was a wagon driver. He says, you become Balagula. So he stopped in the middle of one of his trips, this Rabbi Yosef, who was a big chusit, he became a Balagula. He stops at an inn, he stops there, and the Yid, Otzachuk Yishtelt, and he does Tikkun Chatzos, to that tremendous Oved Hashem, the Balagula. He does with tremendous bechias. Now you saw, by the way, as you'll see, why the Balatanya told him to become a Balagula. Because as a Balagula, it means he travels from place to place. He traveled from place to place, and he stopped. He thought, because it got dark, right? He had to stop. And he stopped at this particular inn. You know, you don't travel at night. You can't travel at night. And he does his Tikkun Chatzos, where he is, wherever he was. He would do Tikkun Chatzos. He happened to be at this inn. He did Tikkun Chatzos. Happens that in that same inn, Igvin Ayid, Unebach was Nichshel, Gvana Balavaira, Chasten got Mita Shikse, and they had a child. They had a child from this forbidden union, a child. This Yid heard this Rabbi Yosef doing a Tikkun Chatzos with all of the Bechias, tremendous Bechias. This Yid received a tremendous Esoiris Tshuva. The Rabbi Yatz told over at Gezuk that the Tshuva was so great that this child that was produced by the forbidden union died. I want to bring out that Mitzarecho, the Tanya says, Take, that even Tshuva Mahav is not enough, right? Calls Mam. The Mamz is alive, but you're talking that your Tshuva can cause that the Rabbi Shem will take him away, will take him out of this world, will remove him from the world. And in such a situation, then you won't have any Reshim anymore of the Aveira. So that's the next level, with the Tshuva Mahav removing the Mamz. The Tanya told us, just remaining a few minutes here, Tanya says that for the Chet HaYidua, the Tanya says, in order to remove it from the Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis, the Tanya said, that you don't need Tshuva Mehava. The Tanya said, it's enough a Tshuva Nechoina. What's Tshuva Nechoina, first of all? What does Tshuva Nechoina mean? He does not explain what Tshuva Nechoina means. Because he goes on after that, he says, Tshuva Nechoina. The Kavona Atzuma, he says, where? Bakrish Mishal Amita. What's Tshuva Nechoina? So some say that he might mean Poshet Tshuva Nechoina, which means to say, proper Tshuva, which means Charot Aloova, Kabbalah Aloset, and so on. It's also very much you're talking that the Tanya is referring to what he says in Ageres HaTshuva in Perik Dalet. The Tanya in Ageres HaTshuva in Perik Dalet, the Tanya tells us that there are two types of tshuva. There's tshuva titoa and there's tshuva iloya. There's a lower tshuva, says the Tanya, and then there's a higher tshuva. What is tshuva titoa and what is tshuva iloya? What do they mean? Tshuva titoa is the tshuva of Leiv Nishbo Avenitke Elikim Loisivze. The Baal Shem does not reject the broken heart. He has a broken heart. Poshim always takes them back. So the Melech says in Taylor, that's called Tshuva Tetoyer. Leiv Nishbov and Nitke Lekim Lo Yisivze, first he claps Al Chait, but with an emes. He claps Al Chait, Oshamnu Bagadnu, and so on and so forth. And he has a Kay of Leiv, his heart, Poshit is pained on his Matzev and his Mamad. He sees where he is in the world. That's Tshuva Tetoyer. That Be'etzem Laboisai is a Gevaldige Tshuva on all Averis. This Tshuva Tetoyer, this Mitzad Alev, Leiv Nishbov V'Nitke, tremendous Tshuva. Halalai. Leiv Nishbov V'Nitke. That is a tremendous Tshuva on all Averis. However, since the Yesoid of this Tshuva is where? Is Belev, right? Leiv, you know, is lower than the Moyach. Leiv is here, the Moyach is up there. Therefore, Tshuva Belev does not work for an Avera of the Chet HaYedua, which is in the Moyach. Zer Levatolis comes from the Moyach, because the person is Mahara, because the person thinks of certain things. So Tshuva Tetoyer, which is really Tshuva Belev, Leiv Nishbov Nitke, is a Gevaldige Tshuva, is a very good Tshuva for all Averis. But being that the Yesoid of Tshuva Tetoyer is Belev, and Belev is lower than the Moyach, it does not work. It does not work only for things that have to do with the heart. But it cannot work for a Pagam that's above the heart. For a pagam that's above the heart, Tshuva Tetoyer can't work. Therefore, Benegay to this Chet, right? That's why Tshuva Tetoyer does not work. But rather, you need a Tshuva Eloye. Tshuva Eloye means B'moyach. That's called Tshuva Eloye. Tshuva Eloye is a Tshuva with the Yisoid that Tshuva is B'moyach. What does that mean? It means when a person, let's say, is misyageya on Torah. Torah needs the mind. Now, you can learn things superficially. It doesn't take much moyach, much kop. And then you can learn ba'amkus. You can learn take ba'amelus. You can learn with yagia. When a person is miyageya, so now he uses the moyach. He uses the moyach and he develops the moyach and he exercises the moyach. So the more that he is misamik in Torah, the more that he goes deeper into Torah, this is the yisoid of tshuva. This is the yisoid of tshuva which breaks all the klipois. And is the tshuva for that chait, for the chait of zeh levatolos. And by the way, the Mefarshim point out, for Magdoshim, that even if he learns a Gemara, that's not too difficult. So basically you'll say, you don't need that much moyach. But let's say he's tired because it's after a hard day's work. It's hard to concentrate. So because of the circumstances, Lamaisa, it's difficult to concentrate. So again, he's using his moyach. He's training his moyach for other reasons, not because the Gemara is difficult. Because his mind, it's hard, it's difficult. He's tired. He has to strain himself. Again, as long as he's using his moyach, and he is putting in the koiches of the moyach taki in Torah, and he forces himself to concentrate, that's what the Tanya calls tshuva eloye. That's a tshuva eloye. And I want to point out to you 3-4 lines that the Eglatal brings in the Hagdoma. The Avne Nezer brings in the Eglatal. Says the Avne Nezer, ki tikun habris tolui b'yoyser b'limad ha-Torah. To be misaking these areas, tikun habris, he says, is limad ha-Torah. U'b'yoyser b'limad ha-Torah b'iyun. More than that is limad ha-Torah b'iyun. Apimasha shumati, I heard, he says, from my father-in-law, the Kotzke Rebbe. Right, Avnezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rebbe. I heard from my shver, he says, the perish divra Zohar HaKodesh. The Zohar says that on the chait of Zeh Levatolos, ein amoil tshuva. What does that mean? So he says, so my shver, the Kotzke Rebbe, said, you know what the Zohar HaKodesh means, ein amoil tshuva? K'mishim de tshuva who believe. Because it says, ulevavoy yovin vishav, right? Ulevavoy yovin. So being that tshuva is believe, upegam shebezeret b'moyach. So that's why Stam Tshuva doesn't help. Why? Because Tshuva is Belev. And the Pagam of this Chet is B'moyach. V'ha-kilkul l'mal l'mokim ha-tikun. So the kilkul is in Moyach. It's above the Mokim ha-tikun. Tshuva is only Belev. V'chem etzosi b'sefer zera kodesh and drop shetzer, he said. V'alkei, iun haloche shu B'moyach. So therefore you have to counter midah k'neged midah. What you have to do is iun haloche, which is also B'moyach. So now it becomes, right, a balanced Tshuva. The Chet of something which is Mekor is in the Moyach. Now the tshuva is also something which comes from the moyach. So this is what the Avne Nezer Takvemistak is pointing out over here. The Avne Nezer tells us, we saw over here, the Tanya told us, that tshuva nechoina, so we're saying that tshuva nechoina again means tshuva eloye. And then he said also, krishma shalamita bekavone. He says, krishma shalamita taki bekavone. So when he says taki, krishma shalamita bekavone means, because kavone again is moyach. Again it's moyach. Stam tzuzung de chabigizug, he said. But krim shal mita bekavona, again you're using moyach. For this particular chet, it's not stam tshuva belev. It has to be tshuva b'moyach. because the Yesoid and the Makor of the Chet is also the Moyach. Now, the Tanya particularly gave an example. He said, Krishna Mishalamita. The difference of opinion, what the Tanya means. Now, the Tanya himself actually brings it from the Arizal. If you look in the source of the Arizal, there are some who say that Krishna Mishalamita, which is mentioned in Arizal, is Lav Davke. The Arizal didn't mean Davke, Krishna Mishalamita. He realized Krishna Mishalamita is the lowest level of Krishna. A Yid says Krishna 4 times a day. You say Krishna in the morning, you know, before Hoidu, before by Karbonis, you say Krishna. Right? You say Krishna right by Shachris, with the Birchas Krishna, right? Then you say Krishna by Maris. Then you say Krishna Shalamita. Krishna Shalamita is the lowest level of Krishna. So when the Tanya says, if you say Krishna Shalamita Bikavona, right? So as many who say that he means Koshkin the other Krishnas. At least the Arizal means that. When the Arizal says Krishna Shalamita, for the Lord of Arizal at Soifel, it means even Krishna Shalamita. If you look here in the Tanya itself, it appears it's not a Koshkin, it's a Mashma from the Loshna Tanya, that he learned Pshat Narizal, Davke to Krishna Shalamita. There's something special about Krishna Shalamita, is Mashma from the Loshna Tanya, he's not giving us any inkling about other Krishmas. He says, Krishna Shalamita Bikavona, is Mashma that Lagaba, this Avera, there's something particular about Krishna Shalamita. So, occurs to me, Lechayo Kipshutoi, on a simple level, why does Krishna Shalamita have a particular Shaykhis? Because this Avera is an Avera that shaykhs with the bed. This is what the Avera is. You're thinking of this type of an Avera, this Avera has to do with Mita, has something to do with the bed. This is the kind of Avera it is. So therefore, in order to, right, to be misak in this Avera, we talk about Krishma Shalamita. A Krishma, which is Makabal Omach Shemaim, on the bed. It means you're making a tikkun on Inyonim Shebemita. We talk about Bitosa Shalema, right? Purity of the bed. Right? We know what that means. Kedushas Abris. So therefore, Krishma Shalamita possibly particularly has a shaykhah to be a tikkum taket to this chayt. But Bechlau, there's another nekuda here. The Yisoidu Inyan is, what is the Inyan of Shechiva B'mita? What does it mean lying down on the bed? But there, Klau Rabbi says, the Ishbitzer brings in Sefer Bes Yaakov. From the Sefer Bes Yaakov brings, he said, what is the difference, he says, you know, in the posture between an Odom and a Behemoth? A man walks with his head up high, right? And his body is below his head. That's the koyim shalem of an odom. A behemah, its head is level, the same level with its body. See, a behemah walks on 4 feet. The kop and goof is all the same. It's all on the same level. And the Bishaka pointed out another thing. That a behemah, not only is its head and its body is on the same level, right? The same adrega, but the head, the face, faces the ground. The head of a behemah, where's it facing? The ground. Why? Because it's the side of a behemah. The side of a behemah is the ground, earth. Gashmi is. Taiva, Artius, that's the side of a behemoth. Man walks with his head facing the sky, Shemayim, because that's where his focus is supposed to be. The focus of a person is supposed to be Klapi Shemaya. He walks with his head above his goof. The Rosh, the head, is supposed to be Shoilet on the goof. The head has to have Shlita on the goof, it's supposed to be facing. Guess what happens, Rabbi Yisrael, when you lie down on the bed? You lie down on the bed, man loses his Koyim Shalema, now his body and his head are on the same level. That's the lowest level of man when he lies down on his bed. The maila, the superiority that Odom has through his koima over behemah, where the head reigns supreme over the body, has now been distorted. Man is lying down on a bed, therefore the kopmet and goof, right, they're all on the same level. It's all balanced. Right? It's all balanced. So maila, when a person taka lies in bed and his head and his body is begoiva achas, right? Which means that he's an aloma drege, where his head does not have superiority over his body. He's lying down. If a person in such a low masif is able to be mizgaber upon himself, and he's mekabel upon himself, oil malchus shemayim, that's the highest level. When a person is in a high madrege to say, Rabbi Nishloim, I'm mekabel malchus shemayim, fine, good. But when a person is bishval amatif, when a person is lying in a bed, which means to say that his head and his guf is on the same level, his head is not above. Faket, it's very shy that his feet are even above. People lie down in the office. You know what that means? You know why people lie down, you know, with the head on the, with the feet on the desk? Because by aim at the feet, chushev in the cup. So his head is low and his feet are high. Instead of kissing someone on the feet, daf kishin the feet. Because by aim the feet, chushev. His feet are chushev by him. His feet are higher, his head is lower. You're lying on a bed, you have lost the superiority of the head. Now it's shova b'shova, you're goofing on the head. That's a shvach matziv. That's a low matziv. In That's what Krishna Mishal Amita is, that even the lowest matzif, no matter what the situation is, he's makabel ol malchus shamayim. Symbolically it means a person can undergo a lot of nesyonos where his faith is being tested. Could be machlus cholila, could be chasor and panosa, could be nesyonos of tzar gidol bonim, whatever the situation is, and still be able to be mizgaber on his nesyonos. B'shad is shoychev al amito, he's lying flat, his head and his body is all shove b'shove. He's a shvacha matzav, he's a lowly matzav, and now he's being makabel, he's saying Krishna Mishal Amita. In such a situation, being makabel upon himself, oil malchus shamayim, in spite of the situation, that's the highest level of oil malchus shamayim. And that's the kind of a Krishna, that's the oil malchus shamayim that's able to be mechaper and be mesakin on the chet hayidua. Let me conclude the lashon of the Chovis Halvavis. For the Halvavis speaks for itself in Shara Hava, Shahavas Hashem, Perik Aleph. It says, Omru alechol min hachasidim, says the Chovis Halvavis. He used to say about one of the chassidim, a chassid shohoye kom balaylo. There was a chassid of the Chovis Halvavis used to get up at night. Woman, he used to say, Elokai, Rabbi Nishloim, Heraftoni, you have starved me. The Eiroim has aftoni, and you have left me naked. You took everything away from me. The Machshake Halaylo Hoshaftonu, you have left me in the darkness of the night. However, the Uzcha the Godlacha Hoyresonu, but you also taught me your greatness and your strength. Im Tisrafeini Biyesh, says the Chosid. Even if you burn me with fire, you can not take away my Ahavas Hashem. That's true Ahavas Hashem. You can take everything away from me. He says you can take away everything, you can take away Chazash, alles, but you can't take away my Rabbi Nishloilam. That's what Krishna Mishal Amita is. A mensch is lying on the bed. He doesn't have anything. He's in a Shval HaMatzif. He's lying down. He's not up. He's down. Can't get lower than that. He's down. And yet he's Mekabel Malchus Shamayim. That's a kind of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, being serious, that is Mamish, and he's Zoche to all of the great Madregas of Tshuva.